At GBQ, we're always counting. Now we're making your time count with this episode of Empower Hour. Start the clock.
Hello, Empower Hour. Today we have Madeline McIntyre, Maddie as she goes by, entrepreneur formerly with the Ohio State University Department of Athletics, as well as some other endeavors, and now director of sales at Innosource. Welcome, Maddie.
Thanks, Doug. It's good to chat with you again.
Yeah, actually, we'll be fully disclosed. She's such a mover and a shaker. We recorded this, and then her life changed in a matter of a few weeks. And it was like, we had a great conversation, but let's do it with the update. And so the update is you joining Innosource and Chad's company, and we'll certainly talk about some of what you're doing there as we work through today.
Awesome. I'm excited. You know, I could sit here and talk about backpacking or hiking all day long, but we got to give Chad and Innosource some love too, of course.
Absolutely. So we'll start with two things. You're unique for at least the folks that I've interviewed, people I've interviewed so far. You're the youngest guest we've had. And I think you're the most obvious guest from a unexpected place. California girl, San Diego, beautiful beaches, cornfields of Ohio because of Ohio State. So talk a little bit about how you came here, and we'll get to why you stayed, but let's get you here first. Why did you come to Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, grew up in San Diego, California, two younger sisters, and my parents were really big on getting us out of California. So they wanted to get us out. I was devastated. UCLA, Stanford both have big time softball programs. I had opportunities to play at both, and they continue to tell me, you got to get out. Ended up being the best thing for me. You know, my short and sweet recruiting story is we actually started at Team Up North up there, and we drove down, my parents and I, from an Ohio, Michigan football game. They were playing Notre Dame, and Ohio State was playing USC. And I'll never forget the coaches and the other girls who were at the Ohio State game texting me, just so you know, it's 9 degrees warmer down here in Columbus, and kind of going back and forth. So I was getting really excited to make the drive down, and because I was just freezing my butt off. I'm sure it was only 60 degrees or something at the time I was there, but cold for a San Diego girl. And we made that drive down to Columbus, and just so cool to see the bumper stickers on cars, the flags in people's yards. You're on 23 there for a bit. I just really fell in love. You know, in San Diego, the weather's so nice. There's so many things to do. They're not diehard sports fans. And I just loved that it felt like people cared in Columbus about Ohio State, and ended up, it's funny, my mom would tell you that her favorite color was red. So she told me to go to Ohio State. It was kind of a perfect deal there. And my dad, much more analytical. He had the whole spreadsheet. He's an engineer. A lot of our lives, we joke with him, was based off the weighted scale, and, you know, love both of them to death. But Ohio State actually at the time offered it's the only school to really talk to me about internships and life after sports. And of course it was nothing compared to what it is now and how robust that programming is. But that was really important to my parents, being as young as I was when I was getting recruited, and ended up having just an incredible experience.
Well, and I know that's part of the reason you stayed. I learned a lot through the couple conversations we've had about what Ohio State does. So talk about that a little bit. I know that's part of the reason you stayed. You stayed involved in the Department of Athletics, worked with Gene Smith. There's all kinds of opportunities available for athletes beyond just playing the game and having the love of the fans. It's even after they leave, there's a legacy there that's kept with them.
Yeah, I mean, Gene Smith, biased as I might be, is just the best AD in the country because he so genuinely cares about the student athletes. I started my career in fundraising, just met some incredible people. Both, you know, the other thing, why do you choose Ohio State? It's more than just the alum. It's the community. Everyone gives back to make this experience so incredible for the athletes. And one of our supporters, actually one of Gene's very good friends, was asking him what he wanted his legacy to be. And he kept going back to the thing that mattered most to him was making sure student athletes had a life after sports. And what does that look like? So much of your identity is wrapped up in your sport. You know, for a lot of these kids, it's all that has mattered to them until they turn 22, 23 and thrust into the real world, and their routine, you know, you're told when to eat, when to drink, when to come to practice, when to work out, when to go to class. And you get, so as much as we're helping them, there's always this kind of back and forth, I think, by the administration. At what point are you hurting them? You know, and so he really wanted to build this programming to make sure there was never a gap. That ended up being called the Eugene D. Smith Leadership Institute. I was really fortunate. I got the opportunity to run that and really start it and get it off the ground. really what that is at the time I was involved, there was 13 programs. And our goal was that the day the student athlete received the diploma, they'd either accepted a job and accepted into graduate school or signed a professional contract. First year, 89% of the athletes at Ohio State fell into one of those categories, which, I mean, it's a testament to the coaches, the sport ADs overseeing them. Like, this was important holistically to everyone. I think now one of my best friends is kind of in that role that I was in. They're at 94% is what they did last year. Already, you know, March, they're at 70% complete. I mean, they're what they're doing at Ohio State, and it's based off internships, but not only internships, they're also doing stuff on mental health. And I mean, it is just name, image, and likeness is a huge component. They're, you know, bringing in someone to kind of run that name, image, and likeness category. And just, I just so admire the way that they put time in into the athletes and their life, their next step.
Well, in cutting college athletics, particularly in some of the bigger sports, it's once you're broke, you're broke. You're either too old or you're broke down and we don't need you anymore. Yeah. And yeah. From the stories I've heard from you and other stories in town, of course, but it's been a little bit more direct from our conversation. That's not true at Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a part of you, right, that it's so hard to come back. I played shortstop and you come back the next season and, you know, there's another girl playing shortstop and you realize how quickly, right, there's some things that move on. But then you also realize, like, man, I'm plugging away at my career. I'm confident in what I'm doing. I've learned, you know, even things from like the portion sizes of what you're eating, that the institute's helping them and giving them based off the sports nutrition and in packets and help you get as you graduate. Like, hey, this is actually when you're not burning, you know, 4,000 calories a day, this is actually a normal piece of chicken, right? So it's like so holistic that it makes the fact that there's now someone else standing there playing shortstop that you loved and put so much time into, man, I have like a great thing going because of that experience at Ohio State.
So you missed that NIL window. And yeah. Ohio State's done some unique things with that. But how does that, I guess, not so much how you feel, because I miss, at my age, I missed a lot of things too. It's just part of getting older, unfortunately. But how do you feel about NIL and how that's impacting college sports as a former athlete?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was one of the things, one of the last things I really got to be a part of was interviewing the third party companies and trying to figure out what the plan was going to be for Ohio State. And I think the way that they're providing the educational platform, there's so many, even Olympic sports student athletes, Gene always spoke so strongly about so many of them have ideas to start businesses or, you know, it's small things like being able to, you know, mow the lawn or do dog sitting or stuff like that, right? That athletes can now do fine. That might be less impactful, but it's the influencers. I mean, that is really the space, right? Is if they're going down to the local breakfast shop, finding out that we've got women's volleyball players that are influencers for those restaurants. And I think it's just a great opportunity for them to, you know, I mean, number one, it's capitalism, right? You're really kind of learning, well, what am I worth, right? You think maybe I'm worth this or that. And now all of a sudden there's an open market telling you, depending on your sport or your, you know, success or your amount of followers or whatever that is, you know. And just to be very clear, I'm obviously not involved in this space anymore, but I know they've done a great job. The educational base that they've provided the student athletes because of the opportunities to earn is, I think, what separates Ohio State.
Well, and I think what NIL is a whole, I don't know enough details to be informative on it, but I think as a whole, it's tracking the trend of the gig economy. I've got three boys, two of them are in your generation. One's the generation behind. When I went to school, largely you were working to get a degree and go sit in a cube and eventually get an office and stay. And now a lot of people are out, they're doing multiple things. They've got multiple irons in the fire. Earning my potential with my likeness is one of those things. But people that are application developers that are developing at night or creative people that are creating for multiple kinds of organizations for, you know, various reasons, just even one of the people that I've interviewed does film for fun, but he's been paid for it too. And so that gig economy is certainly a trend. And I think NIL in some ways just tracks to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really cool. Like I stay in touch with some of the coaches really, and hearing them talk about student athletes that have these startup ideas that they're able to start getting off the ground now because they can. Whereas before, you know, you couldn't start a a company or a business until you were done. All I have to say is I'm grateful I'm not a student athlete, because at the time I felt overwhelmed, you know, just you're balancing your friends and your school and your sport and wanting to put all this extra time into sport. And then you're trying to do internships. And, you know, I'm just so impressed at those that have the ability to balance all of that and take advantage of what Name, Image, and Likeness has provided them.
So let's kind of twist a little bit or pivot a little bit to this idea that people in your generation don't work very hard. Rumor has it. I don't buy into it. Rumor has it, but from, I'm not making you the voice of your generation, but from somebody in that generation. And again, I've got two sons that are right smack dab in the middle of it that work hard. What do you see that younger generation bringing to the economy?
Yeah. I mean, I think they just want something different. They're demanding, you know, they're making sure that we're thinking about things differently, right? I mean, whether that be things that all of us are battling with, right? We're, you know, Source is obviously, you know, at our core, we're a staffing firm. We're the people, process, and performance of individuals and associates that are on our payroll for a large portion of time and sometimes indefinitely, depending on the client. So we're trying to be very in tune with these entry-level roles, to your point. What do they want? And I think they're just challenging us to think differently. I would argue to tell most people I'm relatively old school. I want to be in the office. I feed off people and being around people, and not everyone's like that. And so, you know, we're even battling with, what is it? Is it casual dress? Is it more money? Is it working from home? Is it unlimited vacation? There's all of these different things now that they're challenging us to think about. And it's each company's up to each company to figure out what can you provide and how can you get flexible based off the needs and the desires of the generation coming out of school.
Well, and I think because of Ohio State and just because of the vibrance of this market, one of the things that we've talked about in the past when you were involved or have been involved with the Create Columbus Commission, that I'm going to make sure I get this right. The Columbus region is home to the 8th highest concentration of young professionals among U.S. metros. And with this Intel announcement, I'm sure that math is going to change tremendously. And we're going to climb as the kind of technology businesses that are going to be attracted to that facility rise. But, you know, as I said, I disagree with it. I think that your generation, the generation behind it, bring new ways of working. And you're right. It's work-life balance, or what somebody said is work-life integration, a little bit better than my generation did it. And if you could figure that calculus out, you can attract some wonderful, hardworking, creative talent. And it's not the barrier, the generational barrier is not the barrier that I think some of us think it is.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And that's, you know, one thing I think our CEO, Chad Delegati, does really well. You know, we've got a significant amount of recruiters that are on call. You know, they're doing interviews, they're doing phone screens all day, every day. So we're trying to figure out that balance. What is actually conducive in terms of some of these the flexibility or the casual dress, right? They're performing interviews. So we want to look professional. We want to be that standard. And Chad's so fun. He does. So we do different things to get creative. Like the other day I came in and he's doing like a test of the best spicy chicken sandwich, fast food spicy chicken sandwich. We got like Wendy's in here and Popeyes, and all of our recruiters in here are you know, chopping up these burger chicken sandwiches, trying to figure out the best one. So it's just, I mean, it all goes back to your culture, right? There's not every industry is going to be able to do the same. You know, obviously plant distribution, warehouse workers aren't going to be able to ever go remote. So what are we doing to make sure the culture is good? They're getting value out of their job. And really, do they feel, you know, like they're a part of something bigger than themselves?
That's a big piece of it. Culture, if you feel like you're a part of something, most of us want to stay engaged. And it's very difficult, particularly in the hybrid world, to work remotely so much. My team here at GBQ does a lot of evening work. We have a client in Hong Kong that culturally they want to start at 8 in the morning on Mondays, which if you do the math is 8 at night on Sunday night. So when we're testing in Hong Kong, my team starts Sunday night, late at night. So we're kind of used to that and interacting, but some professions, some of our core practice folks, some of the people that Intersource employs, you know, 3 years ago, we were sitting in cubes together, 8 to 5 interacting. And suddenly now we're dispersed. And how do you get work done? And then how do you stay connected? Are two pieces we really have not yet completely figured out in the market?
I don't think a lot of people have yet, Doug. I mean, because every industry is so different. We're seeing a lot of our clients start moving back towards in-person. You know, we're one day remote, 4 days in the office. I would say a lot of us come in all 5 days just because I think it's just culturally, we have a great group of people. I mean, that I will say is something that separates InnoSource. We don't have to get into, but it's just going to be different. I think it's going to keep being fluid, you know, as people have things arise with family. Hey, I'm going to go work from home for a week. Great. I mean, we trust you. There's metrics you still have to hit, but we'll work with you.
Well, it's always all about hitting the numbers. You're right. I was at an Association of Corporate Growth meeting. It was about 3 weeks ago, and the speaker was an economist from J.P. Morgan Chase talking about a Department of Labor study that about 45% of the hours that white-collar professionals are working are work from home. Wow. And that the Department of Labor expects that to continue to grow. And so it's not unusual, like you described, you know, people are wanting to be in every day, but you know, by the numbers, there are a lot of people that are choosing to work more from home. And, you know, the expectation is the trend is going to go in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and we do exactly what our clients want and what they ask. We're, like I said, we're starting to get to the point where they're wanting us to start doing in-person interviews and getting back kind of to that. So it's funny, we'll read a lot, kind of like what you said, is it's going and growing remote, but we're kind of being told by some pretty big Fortune 500s to start getting people back in. So I think, again, to our earlier point, it's going to be so company specific, and that's really the fun part. And that, you know, Chad's model of really getting in and learning the culture of each company so we can recruit to order instead of having a bench of people, I will say is one of the things that drew me to InnoSource. I now get to go out and learn all of these different companies, what's their culture, what drives them and their business. And then our recruiters go out and it's a blast because you get to learn so many different industries.
So let's just jump into the work thing. You're director of sales at InnoSource, which, you know, people hear sales and they hear something different than what it is. You're out meeting businesses and finding out what their needs are and then helping Chad and other people in InnoSource adjust what InnoSource does to meet those needs. Have you been doing this since October? So talk a little bit about the job there, specifically what you're doing and what you've learned so far.
Yeah, I mean, InnoSource has been Chad and his partner started InnoSource when Chad was 23 years old. So he's been doing this for a long time since we had, I mean, zero. Like he took the company from zero to where we're at now. And I just have so much respect for him. You know, it started out just, he always talks about driving around the Columbus loop, just banging on doors, trying to get someone to let him hire one person. And, you know, now we're obviously much bigger. We work with a lot of the big firms in Columbus. And really what we look to do is we have three different verticals. We work with, you know, everything's recruit to order. So like I mentioned earlier, we have no bench. We have no, you know, we're not here to place warm bodies. We're not going to do any temp work. What we want to do is we really, people, process, performance. Go in, we're going to learn your culture. We're going to go and get the people. We're going to make sure that they perform. And then ultimately our clients end up converting those people. And if they don't, then that's on us and we fill them. And so we believe that we're a little bit different because we don't do any conversion fees or anything like that. If they've worked out at the end of that 6 months, you like them, they like you, you know, we hope that you guys convert them as our clients. But going back to our three verticals, we do a lot of direct hiring. So if we're going out a lot, that's more, I would say, for lack of a better term, that blue collar work. So going into the plants, the warehouses, could be drivers, going out and saying, hey, normal, what people think of as staffing, we're going to put a markup on that and help go place people. The day they start, they're a GBQ employee. Then the other side of our business is more of that try before you buy. So this is really what Chad started InnoSource on, the concept of an employee working for InnoSource, paid by InnoSource, but working at GBQ, for example. That's kind of that conversion. They work for GBQ for 6 months, convert, become a part of their full-time staff. And then the last portion is actual on-site outsourcing, we call it, where we go in and we actually run departments for our clients. And that's everything from, you know, hiring the people, holding those people accountable. And those are on our payroll indefinitely.
So some of those job classes that you mentioned, particularly the warehouse and the drivers, they're very difficult positions to fill right now.
Yeah.
Did you count that as a challenge as an organization?
You know, we've been really fortunate. We were actually running the numbers. We had a 92% fill rate of all of our open recs, which is a huge testament to our recruiters. We're obviously doing a lot to keep them incentivized and making sure they're loving what they're doing because they're incredible. I mean, we think that a big thing that separates us is just the technology. We believe there's a balance between the number of recruiters a company needs to have and then also their knowledge of the technology. So we have an incredible relationship with Indeed. A lot of what goes into the hiring is, what are the keywords that you're using? When do you refresh the job ads? Like, we had a meeting this morning and we learned that most of the clicks on these Indeed jobs postings used to be happening on Saturday and Sunday. And recently the data has been shifting that now it's Tuesday and Wednesday. So instead of refreshing the job posting, so we're at the top of the list on Friday, now we're doing it on Monday. So we put a lot of time into the technology, understanding it, making sure we can draw those candidates in. And then it's like anything, Doug, it's keeping a relationship with those candidates until they start their job. I mean, our recruiters, when they accept and sign that paperwork, we are not done. We're still calling them. We're checking in. We're making sure they're good to go. So it's a relationship business. I mean, we all love people and I think it separates us.
And you shared with me, so I'm going to ask you to share with everybody else.
Yeah.
The relationship that you developed with Chad from your time at Ohio State kind of got you there. And Chad's kind of a classic, to bring it back to Ohio State athletics, kind of the classic Columbus Woody Hayes pay it forward in terms of helping you get started. Talk a little bit about the help he gave you. And then I know in the end, how that attracted you to Anasource.
Yeah, I mean, Chad and really everyone around him, it was fun. I actually had my family in town this past weekend, and Anasource is the type of culture, the culture that Chad's built. I'm like, I want my family to meet. Our leadership team, all the way down through the recruiters, are really like family. That's just a testament to Chad. Everyone that knows him knows his energy, knows the way it feels to be around him. You know, going back to starting the Leadership Institute, Chad was and is still heavily involved in YPO and the Columbus Partnership. And for no other reason, but really being a mentor to me and believing in Gene's vision and helping support that transition for the student athletes. I mean, he was hosting YPO events for us. He was helping introduce me to people at the Columbus Partnership. And so really, you know, there's nothing we could give Chad, right? I mean, it was just something that he did and really kind of became my mentor. And so when he told me that they were looking for someone to come over and run sales, I mean, it was a no-brainer. I think I told you earlier, Doug, I just wanted to work with good people. And that's what we have here. We're so close. We're so tight-knit. We do good work. You know, and honestly, we have fun doing it. Like, that's what he always says. You know, we bleed the red eye, the Anasource passion, and we have a freaking blast while we do it.
You spend more time with the people that you work with in most people's lives. You spend more time with the people that you work with than you do with your own family. Your family's, you know, out California still, I assume, and yeah, they're coming to town every once in a while, but you're in there with Chad and the rest of the team at Anasource every day. If it's kind of nuts, but if you don't like the people you work with, why work there? So that's tremendous that you found a place that you feel comfortable with that feels like family. We've got a team here. We feel that same way about our IT services team. That's really close knit. We've actually found kind of the core of that over a couple guys that came to us out of the military. That esprit de corps that comes out of the military certainly wasn't what I thought I was building here, but that, you know, let's all stay close because you're going to spend more time with your coworkers than you are with your family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people inherently know that and want that. And it's just, it's a different feeling when you find it, you know, and I'll say I had incredible people I worked with at Ohio State as well. So I've been really fortunate. I had a good friend say, have you ever worked for a boss you didn't like? And I was thinking, I was like, I really haven't. Like, I've been so fortunate in my career to be surrounded by such good people. But man, what Chad's building here, you know, we hope to grow and double. And we've got some really, you know, high goals that I'm going to hit, hopefully, right? You got to speak it into existence. But we're rolling. I mean, we've got an incredible team. We're growing. We're bringing on new clients. We acquired an IT firm about 2 years ago. So we've gotten into the IT staffing space and kind of special project type work. And that's the fun thing about Chad is he's innovative. He wants to know if there's a startup that can automate a portion of the recruiting process. Is if a client's willing to open a big office and we're going to go staff that, hey, let's open an office there. So they feel like we are bought in and invested. So I just love the way he thinks. We're flexible, we're fluid. And, you know, we've got 9 offices across the US. So I think a lot of people in Columbus don't realize how big InnoSource is and the reach that we have. So I've got to say, Doug, I feel fortunate, you know, to be here and be working with these people.
Well, your attitude, you're so positive. Every time I've talked, I think you could be anywhere and you would be positive about it. But I know a little bit about InnoSource, and everything you say, I can validate. Chad's got a tremendous amount of energy, and I've heard nothing but good things about what happens there. And as they've grown over the years, it's been kind of interesting to watch. So congratulations with a new gig. So you brought it up at the beginning. So before we get to the final countdown, let's talk backpacking. Because you grew up in mountains near mountains that I've not been in. Any big trips planned?
We do. We actually Monday booked a trip to Acadia. That will be my first time out in Maine. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And then I turned 30 in November. So we've been kicking around some sort of backpacking national park trip. I don't think we have it ironed out yet, but to bring everyone else up to speed, my dad and sister and I really kind of our thing to do together is backpacking, and my mom and our other sister like it. We can get one night out of them in a tent and then they're kind of good somewhere else, but we've got kind of a good cadence together as a family, just getting out, being able to grow up kind of in the outdoors. It's kind of what brings us all back together now.
That's cool. So in Arcadia, is everybody going? Cause it's not a big,
yeah. We got all 5 of us. Yep.
Like a mom friendly park.
Yes. We're not going to camp. It's actually for mom's birthday. So we're doing it mom's way, but we are going to get up. We're going to do that sunrise hike. I believe that the sunrise is the first point you can see it is off a mountain in Acadia. So we're going to do that. We're going to do a couple long day hikes, but no backpacking, Doug.
Yeah. We're actually going to hit canoes this year. Our big trip. The first time we talked, we had just come back from Montana, which was in Yellowstone, which was unbelievable. And I'm dying to go back. And this year we decided we're going to spend it sitting in canoes. One of the 5 guys that I backpack with every year has kind of a bucket list desire to do the Boundary Waters. And so we're going to go canoe for 7 days in the Boundary Waters, which will be a very different experience, at least a different way of moving. The cool thing is that food won't be dehydrated because you can drop a cooler in a canoe. So there's the bonus there. But anyway, good to share there. So final countdown, I've got some questions for you.
Yeah, I'm ready for you, Doug.
What did you dream of becoming when you were in middle school?
Oh my gosh, I forgot when you asked me this the last time. Doug, I don't know. I thought I was going to be a professional athlete for a long time. And then, you know, we spent our summers working on our family business with our grandparents. And so I always just had this desire to run the family business. And I guess in my mind, this is going to be after this long major league baseball type professional career, right? I think if I were to be honest, when I was in middle school, but yeah, I love the family aspect of things. I want to keep it in our family and see it go down generationally.
Who inspires you?
Oh man, my parents. I think who inspires me is like seeing the way couples work together. I think of my parents, like my dad worked, my mom stayed at home. She, you know, we had home cooked meal lunches, you know, they were ready for us to go off to school. Dad worked, he coached us. Mom made sure we got this there in time. I think of like Jean and Sheila in that same boat. I mean, she is such an asset to that department because of the questions that she'll ask. She's always at the dinners with donors and recruits. And so I think it's just people that I love watching the teamwork. And I hope, geez, someday, Doug, knock on wood or something, I'll find someone like that in my life. But
I'm sure you will. What is your favorite life hack?
Life hack? God, I don't know, Doug. Give me some.
Well, so we've talked enough. I know you food prep. So I would guess that's a life hack.
Sundays, every Sunday is my meal prep day. I meal prep breakfast and lunch. I'm really boring. I do the same lunch every day. I do the same breakfast every day for that week. And then I rotate the next meal plan. And then I make something new for dinners if I'm not entertaining or doing something with clients.
Now, I can't help you with this next one.
What I thought you were going to go like techie on me, like I needed some tech thing. And I'm like,
it's funny. The only people that have technical life hacks so far are non-technical people. The technical people have this, well, I I spend my morning doing yoga. It's hilarious. So anyway, this next one I can't help with.
Okay.
Deal. What has been your most valuable failure?
I think my most valuable failure was I'd kind of always seen success in my life. I had a great career at Ohio State, and then I started fundraising and I did not raise the amount of money I thought I was going to raise. I mean, I remember sitting down and being like, oh my gosh, I've got all these incredible people successful with the capability to give. And in those first 6 months, I couldn't even ask. Like, I almost felt like I had all of these different extensions to my family, but I didn't do a good enough job creating that relationship to actually go out and feel confident I could solicit in. And, you know, I was fortunate that I never had super direct conversations, but I knew I needed to figure it out and start soliciting. And that was a big reason I ended up in the MBA program, and just how much it helped me being so young, working with such incredibly successful businessmen and women, being able to at least, while I hadn't done anything even close to their caliber, I could at least say, hey, did you know, like, I actually learned that this is why Walmart failed expanding into Germany. And have you ever experienced something like that, opening a new branch or a new? So that was hard. I mean, I remember sitting down being like, God, I raised $20,000 and I was supposed to raise $500,000. And that was tough. So
I think we gave this last one away, but you work hard. How do you play to balance life?
Oh man, Doug, I would have said I love breweries, but I just found out I have celiac disease like freaking 4 months ago or 4 weeks ago. So I'm figuring out new. Luckily, I can still have bourbon. You know, my friends and I like to do the bourbon trail tasting and stuff, but I also do triathlons. I do iron distance. So I've got 3 scheduled for this summer. So that's kind of my in the morning, how I guess, decompress and kind of get ready for the day.
Well, good for you. It's good to have you again. Hopefully you won't change jobs and make a career move in the next few weeks before we get this published out. I know Chad and you have a great thing going there, so I don't think that's going to happen. But thanks for
joining. Absolutely not, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Time's up. Thanks for listening to this episode of Empower Hour. Join us next time by subscribing to Empower Hour on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your preferred listening platform. Want more GBQ? We don't blame you. Visit us online at gbq.com for the business news and advice that matters most. Who is empowering your growth?